Okay, good afternoon. Wanted to do a little bit more with functions today. And in particular, what we've seen so far is that functions are a special type of relation. And what I want to do today is in section 4.3, which is special types of functions, so even more conditions. So more conditions on functions. All right, but first I started with I had a claim at the end of last time. I'd like to go through that claim. So that claim was that if I have a pair of functions f and g, then their composition is a function. And let me write it out a little bit more carefully, because I have here the term as above, and I don't have the above. So let me rewrite it without that phrase, and then run through a proof. And one of the things that we'll be focusing on when we add these conditions is how well these conditions behave with composition. And the answer is quite well. And so I'll do some examples of that, and there's some homework problems related to that also. So claim (4.2.1) again, basically just sticking the as above part into the statement. All right. So what's it say? It says that f and g are functions as above. So what does that mean? So I need a function g, which will be the second part of my composition. So g is a function from, and the key is what it goes between, and it goes from B to C. And F is a function from it gets me over to B, so A to B. Then if I first do F and then do G, which is I hope you remember, means that I write them in this order, G composed F, that means first I do F, then I do G. This is a function from A all the way to C. Okay, so we at least know that it's a relation from A to C, and we just have to check that it satisfies the function properties. Okay, so as usual, let's do a little sketch over here. So, let's recall what everything means. So recall that for the understanding, we have to remember what everything means. So F is what? So this is all the pairs AC, so it's something that lives in the product of A and C, so that's the right place for it to live if it's to be a function from A to C. Good. The condition is that there exists a B. Right, so that I can get from A to B via F, and then from B to C via G. So with B in F, and BC in G. Right, and remember there are various ways to write this. Since these are functions, I can rewrite this if I wish as f of a equals b, and I can rewrite this one if I wish as g of b equals c, since both are functions. Right, so that's one of the notations that we've been using. All right, and so that's the basic understanding. And now, what do we need? So for the logic, it's necessary to show the two things, right? So we want to show that for every A in A, So remember what function is. There are a couple ways to do it. I could write it as two different conditions, or I can combine them together and use our special quantifier, and let me do the latter. So it exists unique, right? So that's the one we need. C and C with A comma C in this composition, G composed F. Right, so that's what it means to be a function, and there are various ways to write it, but that's one of them. All right. All right, so that is equivalently. There exists C, and the unique part, right? So for uniqueness, we have for all A comma C and A comma C tilde in G comma F, we have that C is equal to C tilde, right? So that's the second part. So that's another way to write it, is in those two different parts, which is might be easier to prove. Okay, and so then we can just try it. So let's see. So let's see. Does one of those look easier? Is it clear that they're either the existence or the uniqueness?
The existence looks easier.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yes, because we can use the F to build the B, and then we can use the G to build the C. And so that I agree, it looks easier. So try existence first because it looks easier. Okay, and so let's see. So if we want to find a C, all we have to do is use the F and the G to get it. So if we have A in A, then then we have and now the function notation looks particularly clean, I think. So let's try it. So F of A is equal to B in B, and G of B is equal to C in C. So we have that A comma C is in the composition, and that's what we wanted. Okay, so that part is follows. And then for uniqueness, what can we do? So we just have to give ourselves the input data. So if we have AC and AC tilde are in G compose F, then what does that tell us? Well, since it's in G compose F, we have to go back and remember what G compose F is. That means that for each of those pairs, there's some B in the middle there, right? And it could be a different B, right? But so we can write it out. Then there exists B and B tilde with A comma B and A comma B tilde in F, and B comma C and B tilde comma C tilde in G. Does that make sense? That's just from the definition of the composition. So we know that we have that. And then we can just see if we can get anywhere with that. So since we have that F is a function, does anyone see what that'll tell us?
Does it tell us that B has to equal B tilde because it'll violate the vertical line test otherwise?
Exactly. That's exactly what it tells us. Thank you. So, right. We have B equals B tilde, right? Because you say it violates the vertical line test. It says that there's only one thing and not both B and B tilde above A. And since they're both up there, they have to be the same thing. Or if you write it in this term, we have A comma B in F and A comma B tilde in F, so B is equal to B tilde. Okay, great. And once we have B equal to B tilde, so then I can rewrite the second one. I have B comma C and B, because it's the same as B tilde, comma C tilde in G, and now what do I get?
You'll get C equals C tilde by the same logic as above.
Exactly so. So as similarly. And that's what we wanted, right? Okay, so any questions about the sketch before we just write that up in a tidy proof? Okay, so let's try writing it up over here. So proof. For existence, for all, sorry, let me not use quantifiers. If I have A in A, then G of A equals B is in B. Sorry, that's F. My F's and my G's mixed up. F of A, just as written over here, F of A, is in B. G of B is in C. And A comma C is in G compose F. Okay, so we got the existence. For uniqueness, okay, so now we're going to try to see if we can tidy up this part down here any, and let's see, so we're going to assume that we have those two things, and maybe we can just first do the B and make those equal, and then do the C's and make those equal. That might be slightly faster, so let's do that. So for uniqueness, if we have A comma C and A comma C tilde are in G compose F, then there are B and B tilde with, and I guess it is pretty efficient over here, so A, B and A, B tilde in F, so B equals B tilde, and period there, and B comma C tilde, B comma C, and B comma C tilde in G, C equals C tilde Q. Okay, any questions about that outline and proof? Okay, so that's what happens with general functions, and as advertised, today what I wanted to do was introduce from the next section, section 4.3, some special types of functions. Okay, and basically just some extra conditions that that they sometimes have, and that'll be handy for the sections we're covering later. All right, so let me just add some notation. Definition. A function f from A to B is onto or surjective if the range is equal to the codomain. Uh, Okay, and the other notion that we'll have is one-to-one. Notion G from A to B is one-to-one. Or injective if every x and y in A with f of x equals f of y, it requires that x and y are actually themselves equal. As x equals y. Okay, let's just do a few examples to get a bit of a feel for this before proving some things about them. So, let's see, here's some examples. So, examples. Oh, and well, I'll add notation. So, which are onto and which are one to one? Okay, so here's a few examples. So, let me also tell you the what they're mapped between, just because I might as well, as functions from R to R. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me give you three examples. So, one, x squared and two, e to the x and three, let me take x cubed. Okay. So those are my three functions. And let's just run through these and see if the notation is clear. Okay, so let's start with this one. So does it make sense? So the definition again, it's considered onto or one or surjective if the range is equal to the codomain. Okay, so all right, so actually, so can anyone see whether that's true here?
No, it's not onto.
That's right, it's not onto because we never hit any of these negative numbers, right. So it's not onto. So not onto, since the range of x squared is just the numbers that are greater than or equal to zero, which is different from all of the real numbers R. Okay. So the thing that you have to keep track of, that you have to remember about being onto, is if I had changed this R and said it was actually a map from R to the numbers that are bigger than or equal to zero, then it would have been onto. So it's important that you know what you're calling it a map between before you try to answer the question of whether it's onto. Okay, but in the case it was not. And what about one-to-one?
It's not one-to-one.
Correct, it's not one-to-one. And what evidence would I provide to show that?
So if you took negative 2 and 2, they both have the same output.
Exactly. All right, so that. So this is not a one-to-one, since Negative 2 squared is equal to 2 squared. Happens to equal 4, but the key is that they're equal. Okay, so I get two different numbers that I put in, and I get the same number out. Okay, so that's not 1 to 1. Okay, so that one was neither 1 to 1 nor onto. Okay, so what about e to the x?
It's not onto.
Right. Again, it's not onto for fairly similar reason. Range of e to the x is the strictly positive numbers are strictly bigger than 0, which again is not all the real. Okay, what about 1 to 1?
It's not 1 to 1.
Okay, and so if it were not, then you'd have to be able to find two values that I could plug in and get the same answer.
Yeah, so it's not. It's not one to one. If you can't plug in something, you get the same.
Oh right, no. I think you're going to get reversed. It is 1-to-1 because see this one's not 1-to-1 because there's that horizontal line where I hit the same. I can get that value in two different ways. I can get 4 by plugging in two different things. This one is 1-to-1 because if I'm trying to get the number say e squared here, the only thing I can plug in is 2. Okay, does that make sense? So this one is 1-to-1. Okay. All right, so actually, is it easier, which one's easier to prove, that it's not 1-to-1 or that it is 1-to-1?
It's not 1-to-1.
Yeah, that's easier because I just have to find an example, right? I just had to find some example. Whoops, and that was enough to show that it was not 1-to-1. To show that it is 1-to-1, right? What am I going to have to do? Well, I'm going to have to show that every single horizontal line just hits it once, right? So I'm going to have to show that for each value, there's only one way to get it, right? So that's what I have to, let me just sketch how you might do that, since if I have e to the x equals e to the y, and I'm going to use the fact that I know, so actually, can anyone see how I might show that x and y should be the same? I guess it's a slight trick, but I'm going to just take, it is always increasing. Actually, that's a good way to see it. Yes, that is actually a good way to see it. But let me do it two different ways. I like your answer. I will use that method. Let me use another one first.
Could you say because g of x is equal to g of y, and then e to the x equals e to the y, then like natural log both sides?
Yeah, that's right. I could take the natural log of both sides. Yes, just as it was also mentioned in the chat, it's about the same moment. That's right. Yes, I can do that. Let me do that. So then the natural log of e to the x is equal to the natural log of e to the y, but this is equal to x, and this is equal to y. And so we're done. Okay, so that's one way to do it. But also, as mentioned in the chat, another way is to say that this is an increasing function. And another way my function is increasing. If I have that x is less than y, then e to the x is less than e to the y, so it's not equal. Okay, so that's another way to say it. Okay, but in any case, it takes a little bit of work. You have to do a short proof, whereas to show that they are not one-to-one, you just have to find an example, right? So that's the... Okay, so that's two, question about two. Yeah, you have to, you'd probably, to turn this into a detailed proof, you might have to argue that this is increasing, you might have to argue that the natural log is well-defined. Yeah, so you have to think through exactly which things you know when you prove it, that's right.
Could you say that, like, oh no, I guess not. I was thinking, like, as the function, the limit... As the function approaches negative infinity and positive infinity?
No, that helps, but it's not enough. Because you have to know what's going on in between, right? You could have a perfectly good limit, and then it could be a mess here, and then it could be here.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so you have to know what's going on in between. Right. Okay. And let's do, but right now I'm just trying to figure out what the answers are, rather than write it to proof. So let's do number three. What about that one? Exactly, as noted in the chat, that one is both one-to-one and onto. Since the range of x cubed is equal to r, and onto. That's right, that's what it is. One to one. Since if x cubed is equal to y cubed, then I can take the cube root of both sides. And you have to be a little careful because, the cube root of something is well defined, but the square root of this, when I square it, I have to be I have to be a little bit careful, right? The square root of a square could be x or negative x, but the cube root of the cube is just x. Okay, and as noted. Maybe I'll put it over here. Note for the one-to-oneness, as we noted, just trying it. This horizontal line test is another way to think about it. So let me just write that down to remind you. So f is one. I guess I call it g is a one-to-one. If every horizontal line hits the graph at most once, and you can also test for surjectivity, F is surjective if every horizontal line hits the graph at least once. Okay. So very similar to the vertical line test we had. And let me add just one little bit of notation. If it satisfies sketching the graph and using it is if you have good enough reason to argue that your horizontal lines do as you say they do. It's certainly the right way to get started and to see it for yourself. That's why I drew the picture, so that I can immediately see what the answer is. But then you probably want to make some kind of argument that says, you know, yeah, it does hit two because I can find two values, and you know, and yeah, it only hits one because I can take the cube root. So I would probably add a little bit of an argument, but the picture certainly tells me what's going on. Okay. Right, one more bit of notation. If it has both, then we call it bijective. So both went one and onto you. Then we call F bijective. Or a bijection. And those are going to come up quite a bit in the following chapters. So that's a useful property of a function. And of course, if we look at our examples above, were any of 1, 2, and 3 bijective? Yeah, 3 was. I guess I read h of x equals x cubed is bijective. And again, when I say that, I have to tell you what the domain and codomain are, just so you know what onto means. So from R to R. Okay. All right, let's see. So let me try a proof along the lines of what we started with here, that we get a function and indicate how it behaves with respect to these onto and one-to-one properties, and there'll be some others in the homework. Let me do one here. So a claim, this is 4.3.2 in the text, and it says that if we have that the composition of two functions is onto, so we need all the setup so we have a composition, so let's do that. So if we have a g from a function from b to c, and f a function from a to b, right, so that we can compose them, and the composition is onto, so that's the extra hypothesis, onto function, we know from above that it's a function from a to c, right, that we proved, where did it go, over here, claim 4.2.1, we know it's at least a function from a to c. But this says that we're adding the extra hypothesis that it's onto. Okay, so that's the key extra fact there. G is also onto. And let me just rewrite the C so that I'm reminding you what the codomain we're using is. Okay, so let's see why this should be true. Okay, so to show that function is on 2, let's see, we have to find that there's something that goes to any particular element of C, right? So to be onto understanding, so we need to get elements of C. And let me just draw my favorite little picture here of functions. So I have F and I have G. And actually, what I like to do for onto is I put a little double arrow. Put a little extra arrow there at the beginning. And so this is G composed F. Okay, and we know that we can get every element of C by following here. And so if I have some element of C here, let me use a color. If I have a little C here that's inside of that set, I know that I can get it by using first f and then g. Well, so that means I should be able to get it by just using g. Okay, so that's the picture. And so let's just see if we can write that out more carefully. All right, so let me just add more notation, just because I really do like these little diagrams. And so what I write is a little arrow with a little hash mark there if I'm mapping a particular element. So that's the way I like to draw these little pictures. For me, that helps to think it through. Okay, so logic. All right, so we're trying to get the logic here. And so we're trying to show that this is onto. Well, that means that the range is all of C. So that means for every C, I have to have something that's in the preimage. So let's write that down. Logic, for all little c in big C, I want to make some claim. Okay, and so we want... that there exists B and B with G of B is equal to C, right? That's the goal. So that's the logic that we're trying to achieve. Okay, and so let's try it. Ideas here. So so how are we going to find such a B? Ideas. So the way that I would think about it is I know that this composition is onto, right? So I know there's something that lands on C when I go through this composition. Okay. But remember, when I have a composition, that means that there's some B that it factors through, and so that's going to give me my B. So let me write that out. So so we know G composed F is onto. So there exists C in, A in A with G compose F applied to A is equal to C, right? That's what it means to be onto. But what is that equal to? Maybe I'll just write an equals here. So G compose F, that's the same as G of F of A is equal to C. So that gives me a way to get a B. So take B just equals to F of A in B. And we have this is then equal to G of B, and that's what we wanted. Okay, so we get some element of B that gets there. Any questions about my rather nonlinear sketch that I gave over here? Okay, so let's turn that into a proof over here. So, proof. All right, so again, what do we have? So we're going to take for all C and C, and then I want to somehow build the B, and this is the structure that I wanted to use to build the B. And let's see, it says that the B is just equal to F of A. So let me just do that. So proof, if C is in C, then B is equal to F of A. Oh, sorry. Wrong order. Let's see. I first have to get the A, right? First I have to get the A. So so first I have to do this. Then C is equal to G compose F of A for some A, since G compose F is onto, if B is equal to F of A, then I have that G of B is equal to G of F of A. Is equal to C, so we're done. Okay. Any questions about that? Okay, and let's just try an example just to get a little bit of a feel for how this works, and then maybe we'll try a few more. But a claim. Actually, it's not an example. It's another claim. I claim that you do not get the same result for F. So maybe I'll just, because I already wrote it out in detail and I don't feel like writing as many words again, I'm going to write G colon B C. So this phrase is the same as this phrase, okay? So is that clear to everyone? So this is a map from B to C, okay? And it's just shorter. And F is a map from A to B. And I'm going to have the same hypotheses as here. So this composition is onto. Okay, then it's possible for F, mapping A to B might not be onto you. Okay, so logically, this is the negation of the statement that if I say F is onto and then put a not out in front, that this is the negation of that statement. All right, so if that's clear. Okay, so if I were trying to prove something like this, what do I have to do to prove something like this? Yes, that's right. It is a proof by contradiction, and if I attempt a proof by contradiction, what will I end up having to construct? Maybe I'll just start writing out the logic over here. So let me just start with the logic. So what have I got here? I've got that P does not imply Q, right? This is what I have here. So this is my Q. So here, maybe I feel like writing it all out again. So let me circle it. So this is my P. Right, and the Q then is F is onto. Right, so is it clear that this is the logic that I have? So I'm going to assume this P here, and I want to say that does not imply Q. Okay, so it could be that P is true and Q is false. Right, so that's the statement that I'm trying to prove. That's the logic of this one over here. Is that clear? Okay, so if I keep going, then what would be equivalent to this? So what would be cool is that I can find a an example where P is true and Q is false. So there are so there exists the F and G is as above. With F not onto. Okay, so to prove that, I just basically have to find an example, right? This is a there exists statement, all right? And so that means I just have to find an example of something. Okay, so let me just try that. Idea. So I need to find an example. Okay, and once again, for me, these little diagrams tell me a lot. So I have my set A, my set B, my set C, I have G here, I have F here, and I have their composition, G compose F. And let's see, so what I know over here is that my function is, this composition is onto, okay? And I know that G is onto, because that follows from this claim here. So these are both onto. And I want to find an example where F is not onto, okay? So can anyone see how I might achieve that? Let me give you a little hint here. So there's a trick. There's an easy way to make a function not onto. All I have to do is add a few elements here to B, okay, that are not in my image. That's not going to affect whether G is onto, right? So I'm still going to get everything in C. And it's not going to affect whether the composition's onto. I'm still going to get everything in C. But it's going to make A not onto, okay? So that's an easy trick that I can use. I can just add some more elements to B. Okay, and so then I can end up with a pretty simple example in the end, right? I can take A to have maybe just one element, and then B to have two elements, and C to just have one, and then I'll be done. Okay, so let me just draw a little sketch of how that'll work. Long time, but so I can draw these finite pictures. Okay, and so this could let me draw the other one. This could be my map F. Here's A, say 1 and 2, 3, and 4. So this is my set C here, this is my set A, and this is my set B. And this could be my map F and my map G. Okay, and so then what's the composition? So the composition goes from the set A to the set C. I should label things better. So this is my set A. This is my set B, this is my set C, and so the composition is going to go from A to C, and so here's my composition. And of course it just takes 1 to 4, because that's what it does when I do first F and then G. Okay. So this is an example, and that's all that I need. So is that sketch clear? I mean, I'm going to write it out as a proof in a minute now, but is it clear? What I have here, so this is an example, right? And it's an example where the composition is onto, G is onto because it has to be, but F is not onto. Okay, so let me just write that out in formulas, but that works. So a proof. Consider the example. And I'll just take exactly the example I have over there. A is equal to the singleton 1. B is equal to the pair 2, 3. And C is equal to the singleton 4. Okay? F of 1 is equal to 2. Well, I guess it's 3 over there. Might as well do exactly the same one I have over there. 3. G of 2 is equal to G of 3 is equal to 4. Okay, and so there's my example. And so then we check. F composed with G, G composed with F, applied to 1 is equal to 4, so onto. F of 4 is equal to... F of 1 is equal to 3, which is different from 2, f is not onto. Okay, so the, anyway, I'm sorry, that was a little more complicated looking than it looks, than it should be. Yeah, it's exactly right. It's exactly right. It's that might not, which says that there exists a situation where it does not. That's what might means, is the existential quantifier. Right. And then the not, of course, is the tilde. So it's so there exists something where it fails. That's what might not means. That's right. And as you say, the fact that you run into that existential quantifier tells you that you can just do an example. Okay, out of time. I will turn off the recording and stick around in case there are questions.